Turn me on, turn me up.
You're turned on.
All right.
Quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
Awesome!
I came to pay to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Hey, it's Cody Goff. I'm here with Brian Noonan on The Brian Noonan Show. I have to say very quickly at the outset that it's The Brian Noonan Show, or Brian gets very peckish.
I am territorial. You know that. This is the podcast that we are producing in lieu of the Sunday night show because the Blackhawks have decided to lay claim to Sunday nights until sometime in February. So I was going to say resorted to this, but I have found this very refreshing to not have to worry about breaks. For news or commercials, and to that we could just talk about we talk about whatever we want on the regular show, but now we don't have to stop, and I don't have you flailing at me from behind the glass going, you gotta take a break.
I was gonna ask you how you feel about the whole podcast format.
I like it because I'm long-winded and I'm full of myself, and I think that everything I say is fascinating, so this is perfect for me, uninterrupted diatribes. It's fun.
I like it too. I'm having
I think people The few comments that I've seen, people seem to enjoy it too, which is good. That's why we're doing it, because we wanted to make sure that people who liked the show had something new to listen to while we were off. So, yeah, it's been fun so far. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and we've almost hit double digits. People listening, we've almost hit double digits.
Is that right?
So far, we've only got 8 or 9 people have heard this, but I'm aiming for 10.
Oh, listener. I see.
Yeah, listeners.
Yeah, listen, spread the word. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Brian Noonan Show and at Producer Cody. So spread the word there. Now that we've shilled for ourselves enough at the very beginning, welcome back. This is fast. Tonight is exciting because we are recording the podcast for the first time in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, where the regular show originates. The weird thing about this, and people, we've already got tweets from people who were up on the stream, the video stream, so people are watching us, but normally I am sitting in the big chair when we're in here. So tonight, Cody is sitting where I normally sit, and I am sitting, I'm riding chick. As a motorcycle term, I'm in the sidecar.
Yeah, this is weird.
It is weird because nobody's in your booth because we're running everything from out here.
Right.
So you're in my seat. I'm in. This is where Bill Leff sits. Where Anna DeVlante sits.
Sure.
Where Elliot Serrano sits on his multiple visits to the Patty Vasquez show. Yeah, this is where guests and Karen Conti sits here.
Yeah, but you're the one that's actually been operating the board. I think we're required to say that. I'm not sure. There's something with engineers and unions.
Well, I set everything up. All you did was hit record on the USB thing.
Yeah, that doesn't even count.
No, because I did set everything up. So when Steve Cochran comes in the morning and the board is completely screwed up, it's my fault.
Wow. And to
send
me
a letter.
To be clear, you cannot see us on the stream right now.
Oh, no?
Well, if you're listening to this, no.
Oh, no. If you're listening to this, no. If you just happen to be, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. If they just happen to be listening to the Blackhawks game on WGN Radio.
On Thursday. January 14th.
Right, when we are recording this. And I know I just broke the rule, but does anybody really care about that rule?
Was there a rule?
You laid out the rule the first time, and I've broken it every week.
I'm not sure. Are you dusting the studio?
It's very dusty.
It's very dusty.
This is I am not comfortable with all the, I've been battling a little bit of a cold.
Mm.
And so I'm not a germaphobe by any stretch of the imagination, but I have started to notice more filth around. Not just, like, not in my house. My house is just, you know, it's fairly clean. It's not
pristine,
like hospital clean, but it's clean. But I've been spending a lot of time around children lately.
Mm.
Children are just snot factories. They have absolutely no regard for boundaries, no regard for covering their mouths. They touch themselves. They touch things. Every surface that a child is around is completely covered with gunk within about a minute and a half of it being disinfected. So I've been battling that, and then my cold seemed to go very quickly because I take a lot of vitamins, I work out, I'm in, you know, I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah.
My body now, my immune system is tough.
Yes.
And it'll give up a little. It'll cede a little ground in the battle, but it will eventually win the war.
You've never taken one sick day in 7 years working with you.
I did, but you weren't here. It was a night, back when I was, you weren't here and I was doing Saturday, with the Saturday night overnight, and at about about 8 o'clock, I had to call the assistant program director at the time and tell him I was being admitted to the hospital, so I was not going to make the show.
That's right.
So that was the one time I called in sick. I called in once sick and once blizzard. In the almost 9.5 years I've been here, I've called in twice.
Well, I called in. I've called in.
Have you?
I've called in once or well, once I was in the hospital, so right. I had to miss two of our shows on the weekend.
Right,
and then I think I may have taken one other sick day, but I learned my lesson when I worked with Spike.
Yeah,
as everyone remembers.
Sure, because they talk about you, right?
No, because I left a voicemail on Jim Weiser's phone, who was producing Spike's show at the time.
Right.
And it's like a minute and a half long, and I'm talking about, oh, Jim, so sorry, I'm sick, because I was an intern at the time.
Sure.
I felt really bad about it. So, of course, he gets into Spike's office and walks in and goes, hey, how can we get this on the air? And Spike played it twice that morning. And then in the next morning I come in, he goes, hey, Cody, come in the studio. And I go, okay. So I go in the studio.
Because you're never one to shy away from the microphone.
I was a little shyer at that time.
Were you?
Yes.
All right.
Not like the shyer that Frodo lived in, but I was a little shyer. Ha ha! See what I...
All right,
yeah, it's that kind of podcast.
All right, Bilbo.
So Spike says, yeah, and you were sick yesterday, huh? And I go, yeah. And this is on the air. And he goes, yeah, you left a voicemail. It sounded like this. And he plays the voicemail again.
Nice.
There are people that, there are engineers that I'll walk in and they'll still say, oh, God, I can remember the time you went in Spike and you had that sick voicemail and they played it.
Well, were you doing the extra sick voice?
No, I was. I was just debilitated.
You were that sick, but the next day you were fine?
I had like a flu.
Okay.
And those are often, you get over it after about a day.
Sure, 24 hours.
After much projectile action. And
hopefully people aren't listening to this one. I hope they are, but I hope they're listening at all. If not, this is just a futile attempt.
I went into 7-Eleven a month ago or
you
two.
You are so braggadocious tonight. First you were on with Spike, now you're at 7-Eleven. My God, your life is wonderful. We get it.
What can I say?
Yes, the 7-Eleven that's across from your house.
Yes.
Are you getting... Let me ask you this, because it seems in the last three or four podcasts, you've made a mention of 7-Eleven at least once. Are you getting a deal with 7-Eleven under the table and cutting me out of said endorsement deal?
If only.
Is it because 7-Eleven is the closest store to your home? Is that why you're constantly bringing up 7-Eleven? Or do you indeed hope to one day own a franchise?
You know, one of my coworkers was talking about winning the Powerball and how the best franchise to buy is McDonald's.
Not anymore. Their in-store sales have been down the last, I think, 8 quarters.
She insists that they pretty much print money.
She's wrong. They used to. That used to be the case. I don't believe that is the case anymore. That's why McDonald's is in such a turmoil lately. Trying to change up their menus, bring in healthier things. Now they've got the new pick two or something where you get two things off the dollar menu for $2, which doesn't make sense because you always get two things for $2. It's a dollar menu. That's how math works. But I may be misrepresenting it. It's something like, but I've been following it. I don't know why I've been following it so closely.
Yeah, what is this?
Because it's, to me, I used to think like you. And that used to be the prevailing thought, that if you owned a McDonald's, you were rolling in it.
Why were you thinking that? Why were you thinking about owning a McDonald's?
Just back in the day, people used to talk about it all the time.
Owning McDonald's?
Well, because there was a house in a suburb next to ours that got built, and it was somebody who owned a bunch of McDonald's, and it was some huge elaborate mansion with rumors of a theater and a pool and a bowling alley and all this stuff in it. And it was because this guy owned McDonald's. Like, oh man, owning McDonald's.
All right.
And anytime you see it, you read about franchisees, it was, oh man, you got it. It's so hard to get a McDonald's, but once you get a McDonald's, man, you're golden.
Why is it so hard to get a McDonald's?
I don't know.
Don't you just cut a big check or something?
I don't know how they do it anymore.
Interesting.
I don't know much about franchises. I know from infomercials that I could find out about franchises quite easily. I could go to some Hilton, some random airport located Hilton in any state in the union, and learn about franchises. Perhaps like that franchise episode of The Simpsons where Marge ends up selling pretzels. I could do that sort of franchise deal.
I have not seen
deal.
That one. That's I must confess. One.
I think right now, well, I was up until about 3 months ago, Chipotle would have been the one to have. If they even franchise. I don't even know if they franchise.
I don't know.
I don't think they
How
do.
Did we get on the topic of fast food restaurant franchising?
You asked, I asked you if you were getting endorsement deals from 7-Eleven.
You sure?
You said your coworker said that she wanted to You know, I asked you if you wanted to buy a 7-Eleven. You said your coworker said she would buy a McDonald's. Then I went into my business column, you know, my Wall Street Journal synopsis of the woes of McDonald's lately, and here we are.
Wow.
That's how it all happened. I know everybody thinks I don't pay attention. I do pay attention.
I was actually waiting
for
you.
You don't pay attention.
I was waiting for your synopsis to catch up with right now.
Right.
Like in Spaceballs where they rewind the tape and then they show the tape and then the tape is in the future.
This is what we're caught up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. Well, I was at
So you're at Starbucks. No, you're at 7-Eleven.
Now I don't even remember why I was at 7-Eleven.
I don't know. You were at 7-Eleven for something.
Oh, I was talking. No idea.
Really?
No idea.
How could that be?
I don't know how we started talking about 7-Eleven.
I don't know. You were there for
something.
Oh,
now you can't remember very far back.
Right. I don't remember what I say. I don't pay attention to what you say.
Okay, that's fair.
I pay attention to my thing.
You said something about it doesn't matter.
Right now people are screaming. What the hell are you talking about? Who cares? No, you went to 7-Eleven for something.
And it's gone.
And you were gone.
It's gone forever.
All right.
Well, that was unfortunate.
Uneventful. Uneventful indeed, because I don't know what we were I don't even remember what we were talking about.
This is what usually when we go off on tangents, we can find our way back.
Well, because either Roger's here or whoever's doing news for us or somebody else is paying attention.
When you also usually have a legal pad.
I do.
There is, believe it or not, a show outline.
It's always a show
for
outline.
Our show on the air. But not so much for, well, we were talking about the Powerball and we were talking about.
Well, that was, no, before that. Before the Powerball, before McDonald's, before you went to 7-Eleven.
Sick days.
That's it. Yeah. Yes, because you were using the, I asked if you used the sick voice, and then you said, I went to 7-Eleven.
Well, the listener remembers.
Is that how you?
We're the only two people in this podcast that don't remember how we got there. Everybody else is thinking, sick days, how did sick days?
This is the most random collection of words ever thrown onto digital audio.
I've been thinking about doing an avant-garde podcast.
Which is what? Just non sequiturs?
Yes.
All right.
Not necessarily with you, but if you'd like.
I'd love to come on.
This could be it.
Roll this as the pilot episode. Sick days. Did you use the one with Spike? They played it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Then you went into 7-Eleven.
No, this was years later.
Right.
A couple months ago, I was in 7-Eleven, and I was telling my friends how I wasn't feeling great. I might take a sick day tomorrow. And Uncle Mike at 7-Eleven, because Uncle Mike's his name. It's on his name tag.
Oh,
that's how I know it's his name.
Clerk?
Uncle Mike said that he's taken one or two sick days in, I don't know, 20 or 30 years or something, and said, you take a sick day, you get used to taking sick days. You got to get in the habit of not taking them.
My dad retired. He was a high school principal for the Chicago Public Schools. And back in the day, your sick days would accumulate. And if you didn't use them, you got paid for them. So he never took a sick day. Never. He had five sons. My mom would take days off if we were sick. My dad would, even if my dad was deathly ill, I think he just wanted to get out of the house because he couldn't stand us. So he wanted to go to work, or he believed that his school would cease to exist if he missed a day.
Sure.
Whatever reason, he never took a sick day. So when he retired, he got a year's salary in sick days.
Are you serious?
Yes. I swear to you. A year's salary just in sick days.
Good Lord.
Was like his retirement plan. He put up with 30 years of going to work sick as a dog. So that when he retired, they'd just give him a year's salary. Here you go.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he got his pension, and then he got here's all your sick days, clunk.
My problem with sick days these days is I can't take them.
Well, sick days are vacation days, yeah.
No, sick days have turned into work-from-home days.
Oh, no. See, that's the problem with everybody being so accessible.
Well, it's the problem with a lot of companies.
And it's also the problem with the American worker, Cody. I blame it on the economy, as we always do.
It is the economy's fault.
It is the economy. Because people are afraid to take a sick day. Everybody's afraid they're going to lose their job. So, you know, employers will complain, man, people come into the office, now everybody's sick. Yeah, that's because when somebody has, you know, whooping cough, they're afraid to stay home because they think they're going to get fired. Because if they miss a day or a couple days, when they come back, you're going to swamp them and they go, listen, you're really falling behind. We got to let you go. But I was sick. No. So people don't want to take the sick days. Employers don't want to give you sick days. They have to. And they'll say, we want you to take your sick days and your vacation days. No. Last place I worked, they called them personal days or whatever. There was no delineation.
Sure.
You got X amount of days per year. Here's your days. And if you took them, you took them. But then they got mad.
Really?
Well, like I was leaving that job.
Right.
And they go, you've taken almost all your days for the year. And I said, well, technically, no. I've scheduled all my days for the year.
Sure.
But I haven't taken them all. I've taken, you know, a chunk of them up to this point. But it was like September or August. So I had like only 4 months left. And I still had at least half my days, you know.
Yeah.
So who cares?
So what's the problem?
Plus,
exactly.
You gave them to me. I got them. Well, you didn't do it. And now my wife's job, this screwed us last December. They went from giving them all their days at the beginning of the year. Say you get 14 days.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So you get 2 weeks vacation and 5 sick days. So you get, 3 weeks basically. Well, it used to be you could take them whenever you wanted. Well, then they decided, people are starting to either take all their time up front or they're taking all their time then quitting and blah, blah, blah. So they said you can only take what you earn to that point.
I hate that.
And so we were going to go to my brother's wedding in Florida last December, and it was between my brother's wedding or Mardi Gras last February because she was, even though she hadn't used her days,
yeah,
she hadn't earned them.
She didn't accrued them.
Right.
She didn't accrued
the hours.
And it was
like, wait a minute, what does that mean?
No, that's the worst.
It was horrifying.
That happened to me when I started a job one time. My friends had I took a week vacation in Mexico, but I had only accrued 3 vacation days. So I said, well, could I please take 2 extra days off? And as we accrue at least 1 day per month, yeah, I'll just not take any vacations for the next couple months because I don't have anywhere to go anyway.
Right.
Nobody goes anywhere. Nobody goes anywhere in January, February, or most of March.
I go to Mardi Gras in February.
Okay, so there's Mardi Gras. Well, yeah, that's because you go to New Orleans.
Right.
New Orleans. But
I got to go now.
Who else go? I mean,
well, there are people who try to get away from the winter.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess
a little long
that.
Weekend in Florida, something like that. They just jet off.
I had nowhere to. They ended
you know
up
what's
being
weird. People are watching us and taking our pictures now outside. And this is, I know if you're listening, this makes no sense. But if you've listened to our show, you know I chase rabbits whenever I see something shiny. There's a group of people now outside the Allstate Showcase studio taking our picture. And now it's bothering me that Cody is sitting in the big seat.
Is it actually? Is it really?
No, it's not. But they think we're doing a show, which we are. But they think it's weird because I know the speakers outside on Michigan Avenue are playing the Hawks game. So these people are looking at us like, I wonder what they're doing in there. Because they seem to be talking and doing what appears to be a show. And yet we're hearing John Weideman and Troy Murray with a brilliant call of the Blackhawks Montreal Canadiens game.
This is weird. This is super meta.
It's meta.
It's really meta. I wish we could drop the microphone and just talk to them.
We could, technically.
Well, you could. I can't because I don't know how to.
Right, but if you know.
But it's technically possible. That would be too strange.
Would it be?
I think so.
All right. Well,
you want to. I can tell you want to.
No, we can start recording down here from now on. And that would be, look at everybody. Hey, we're photobombing. I just photobombed
these people. Photobombing the picture of them taking a picture of you? I don't think you can do that.
No, I did. And the woman laughed and she waved. She was very happy that I photobombed them. She stopped to take a picture of this group. This is wild. All right, back to, so you had not accrued your days. Nobody goes anywhere January, February, March. That was your stream of thought.
Yeah, I worked it out. It didn't matter. But
that was the most uneventful end of the story. Yeah, but I went anyway. I lost that job.
No, but the overall conversation is that it sucks that people don't feel like they can take a sick day.
And that, but if you read any studies, and man, now I'm quoting. I've already quoted a business study. I've read studies about McDonald's.
When did
stats.
You learn how to read?
I am a professional talk show host.
Yeah?
I read things, and then I disregard all those facts, and I say whatever I want.
Do picture books really count?
They do. They're pop-up books.
Oh.
Just like my lap. And so, people...
Hopefully not while we record this show.
Oh, I'm very excited when we do this show.
I don't know what's on your computer screen, and I don't want to.
But Europeans take their vacation. That's why I like Europeans. I don't like Europeans. Who am I kidding? Nobody likes Europeans.
You don't like anybody.
I don't like Americans. I don't like Europeans. I don't like people from the subcontinent, wherever that is. I don't like people from the up-top continent, wherever that is.
Canada?
No, that's part of this continent.
Montana?
No, I think that would be like Antarctica or something.
Greenland.
Is Greenland a continent?
No.
It's not?
No.
Antarctica is a continent, isn't it?
Antarctica is.
Antarctica?
The Arctic, fun fact, does not have land. It's all icebergs.
Is that right?
So there's no North... Well, the North Pole apparently is just on an iceberg. There's no land up there.
Tell that to Santa, Jack.
Who's Santa, Jack?
No, Santa, comma, Jack.
Oh, I see what you did there, yes.
Slowed it up.
This is the weakness of spoken radio.
Oh, so I should...
As opposed to written radio.
How about I type out a... script, or I type out a transcript of everything that we say.
This show is scripted.
Sure is.
Everybody knows that.
This is the worst script ever. Somebody ought to hire a script doctor. Get him in here.
Just because it's a first draft, listen.
Yeah, we just broadcast the first draft. Most people, I tell my daughter that all the time, you know, write the first draft, and then you can go back and edit. She only just wants to write and then turn stuff in.
Mm.
Well, that's not how it works.
Mm-mm.
Oh, because she's writing for the Tulane version of The Onion.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a big deal.
I guess, yeah. No, I'm proud of her. I don't know if it's a big deal to other people. It's a big deal to me. But she's like when she was doing some, she was writing for a website over the summer, and she'd wait till the last minute and then do her column. And they were good. And she'd ask me to read them. And I was like, okay, well, maybe, you know, there's a few things that you could probably fix. I've already turned it in. Well, why did you ask me before you turned it in? Why submit it now?
Why'd she even give it to you?
Because she wanted me to read it to see what I thought of it.
But what if you thought it was crappy?
Well, unfortunately, she would know that. Not because I'd say, man, this is crappy, but I would have just gone, oh, it's all right. Because I'm a cheerleader to a point. I'm a cheerleader for genuine effort.
Yeah.
And genuine results.
You're not an enabler.
No, I'm not. Everything she does is not Hemingway-esque.
You don't give her a trophy for trying.
No, sometimes you, like when I used to blog back in the day when blogs were a thing. I know blogs are a thing now, but, you know, really, they're not. They're just, let's be honest, for a lot of people, blogs are just a therapy, which is fine.
Is that what they are?
People just vent on blogs. There's blogs that are, there's all kinds of blogs, but you know what I mean.
There are all kinds of blogs.
I used to blog, and the blog was basically the show. So once I started doing the show more, and then once Facebook and stuff happened, I was able to go into other directions. But anyway, sometimes the blog would take me a few hours because I would write it, then I'd go back and I'd change some of it, then I'd go back and I'd change some more of it, just like, you know, real writers do.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a real writer, but I know that's what real writers do.
You'd emulate a real writer.
Yeah, I pretended I was a real writer, which most bloggers do. But again, why am I slamming bloggers? Just to get another group angry at me? Is that what I do?
Well, we were on a negative kick by talking about the whole not being able to take time off work thing, and then
why are we so angry tonight?
We spiraled into 7-Eleven, which makes everybody angry.
Unless you like Slurpees, which I detest. My wife and daughter love Slurpees. They're Slurpee nuts. Like
really?
Most people I know. Do you like Slurpees?
No.
I have never liked a Slurpee.
I will get a free Slurpee on 7-Eleven because they give away free Slurpees.
Sure, the 7-Eleven day.
Yes.
And on the flip side, I used to really enjoy a Mr. Misty at Dairy Queen.
What's a Mr. Misty?
It's a slushy drink, but it's not a Slurpee.
Interesting.
Because Slurpees have a weird consistency in my mind.
They're it's not like an Italian ice.
Yeah, it's like weird. A foamy, weird frozen drink of doom. And it gives you horrible brain freeze, which a Mr. Misty will too. But a Mr. Misty is more just slushy.
Yeah.
And a Slurpee has a kind of creamy, weird, slushy consistency that I don't care for. But anyway, so that's... That was all negative. And how can we be negative when CM Punk is finally going to get his first UFC bout?
Nice transition, Brian.
I knew you would like that. And I knew you would like this story. That's why I printed it out right here.
You printed out
a story for our podcast? I got all sorts of stuff.
This is not avant-garde.
I always bring stuff in. Last week, I didn't. Last week, if you remember, I came in with absolutely nothing.
I remember.
No legal pad, no pen, no papers, no nothing.
No brains.
Well, I
didn't bring any.
I always got the brain.
Oh, you brought that.
I'm always ready with the brain. But I was a little nervous because I keep thinking, even though it's never happened to us yet, that one day we'll just be sitting here looking at each other going, what do you think of that?
That's actually pretty valid because I have virtually nothing to say.
Well, here's the other thing that we you need to do next time, because right before I'm going to share this with the listener, because it's behind the scenes.
Ooh.
We like to draw you in. This is our world, your world, our world. It's as Spicoli said in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. If I'm here and you're here, isn't it our time, Mr. Hand? Right on. So we're all here together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Cody said, ooh, I had three great ideas for the show tonight, but now I don't remember anything. I have no idea what they are. So we got to start making notes, because last week I said to you the same thing. Oh, I had a couple good things that I wanted to talk about, and I forgot them. Now, I thought last week went fine. You know, with our two podcasts last week.
It was a big week?
That was hard.
It was hard.
Spent. It was very tough.
Yeah, you have no idea how to carry longer than an hour of a show.
Oh, whew.
How could you?
Whew, it's like breaking rocks.
How could you? Well, we already talked about one of the things that I wanted to talk about that I forgot I wanted to talk about.
Which was?
Which was your transition from, well, not your transition from, but your...
What am I, Caitlin?
Your
stop it. I'm not transitioning. I'm real happy. Well, I'm not real happy with the way I am, but I'm not. It's not that part of me that I'm not happy with. I'm not trapped in my body.
Wow.
Hold on.
Whose body are you trapped in? You know, I don't think it's effective when you hit the cough button so no one can hear you, and then cough as loudly as you can so that people can hear it in my microphone.
I wanted to show how powerful my clearing of my throat was.
Because I'm not a radio expert. Listen. I've only been doing it for, you know, half the time you have.
That's all right. Listen.
But
what did you want to talk about?
Difference between podcasting and radio. We'll just talk about your enjoyment of it, which we did at the start
of
this.
I do enjoy it. You seem to enjoy it quite a bit, which makes me more comfortable because... Again, this is not my realm. I mean, broadcasting and talking is obviously my realm, but this medium that we've decided to wrap our dialogue in, boy, look at me getting all ethereal.
Wow.
Is different. So the format is a little different. The content I know is supposed to be a little different. So I've been not uncomfortable, but a little apprehensive.
You're adjusting.
I'm adjusting. And you, so I take my cues from you on the podcast, and you have said you think this is what we should be doing, and this is how the podcast should be going, and it seems enjoyable, so I'm believing you.
So what I mean, people, like you said, have been giving us generally positive feedback.
Sure.
Ironically, I'm not as much of a podcast listener as I am a podcaster.
Right.
You're
a podcast creator.
I'm like the writer who writes a lot of...
Hold on, let me try this again.
Yeah.
Is that better?
That's good. Yes.
Because I turned my head this time, too. I turned off the mic and turned my head.
You turned your head and coughed.
Turned my head, yeah.
Good, thankfully. I was waiting for that for years.
Sorry.
And I used to write a lot of short stories, things like that, fanfics, whatever. And not
fanfics?
Not that kind of fanfic.
What kind of weird erotic fan fiction? They were not.
So it immediately goes to the erotic. It has to be erotic.
Sure, because that's Twilight. Isn't that fan fiction?
Twilight was a fan fiction.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Did you write about glistening vampires?
Or
nubile virgins?
No. 50 Shades of Grey was a fan fiction.
Right, 50
of Shades Twilight.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I knew something was fan fiction.
E.L. James wrote a fan fiction of Twilight, and then people loved it so much
that she wrote.
Yeah, she just
50 Shades
took
of
away,
Grey.
Changed the names, and it became 50 Shades of Grey, basically.
Which won a Razzie. For the worst movie of the year.
I didn't see it, did you?
No.
Nah, I would only see it if a theater was completely empty except for me, so I could pull a Pee Wee Herman and just really enjoy it.
But I don't think you would enjoy it in that way from what I read. I think probably reading the book you would be able to do that. But
maybe.
I have a feeling from the reviews that the movie did not elicit that sort of stimulation.
You know, I've been doing something this entire podcast that reminds me of a major pet peeve I have.
What is?
And I have to tell you.
All right.
That I have recently begun interacting with somebody in a work environment, I'll be as vague as possible, who...
Yeah, your girlfriend's mom's listening.
This has nothing to do with...
Should we call her by name?
Nothing to do with my girlfriend's family. No. nothing to do with my girlfriend or her family. There's a work thing. Somebody who...
So wait, you've been tying up somebody at work?
I was going to talk about something different.
All right.
Now, that's a different conversation that I think we have to have an HR manager in here to have.
Okay.
I'm not sure, which I'd rather not get into.
All right, so there's somebody at work. Wait. we're talking about 50 Shades of Grey, and then you say, and I've been having this interaction with a coworker.
So. No. Because I was doing something that I realize I hate when other people do.
Oh.
And I've kind of inadvertently done it in this podcast for whatever reason. And it's constantly acknowledging that you understand what the person is saying. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Sure. But interrupting you to do it.
Sure.
So you can't get through two sentences without the person saying, yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm, yeah, mm, uh-huh, uh-huh. And it stresses me out.
Wait, have you been doing it or have I been doing it?
I've been doing it on this podcast.
Okay.
Not that badly.
I haven't noticed it.
Okay, that's good.
Because
mm-hmm. I see, right. But like, do it every mm-hmm. 2 seconds okay. that I'm saying something,
all
and
right.
this
mm-hmm.
literally is okay. what this person
is that
does,
right?
And it gives me anxiety, and I can't have a conversation with them. I'm only going to email this person. I will not speak to this person at this point.
How do you avoid her during or it? How do you avoid them?
Her, him, whatever?
How do you avoid them?
I avoid this person easily because we don't work closely together, so it's fine. But there's just a person that I engage with in either a work or semi-professional capacity that I'll be very vague about in case that person listens. But good Lord.
The mystery now is over. Powering.
But it's a younger person. So how do you, where do you, because you want to mentor younger people, right?
Eh.
Yeah. If I did that, you wouldn't say, you would say something.
Oh, I would say something to you. Sure.
To me.
Of course. But I don't know if it would be mentoring. I guess, it wouldn't be mentoring. It'd be the steel fist and the velvet glove. I'd drop the hammer on you. Stopped interrupting me.
What if you were here for 2 weeks filling in for the afternoon show, and the afternoon show intern, who I don't know who that is, but.
We don't have interns anymore. That's illegal.
Oh, all right. Well, let's pretend this is 5 years ago.
Okay.
Afternoon show, you're filling in for 2 weeks. There's an intern, and the intern does it. At what point do you say something? You're actually very, despite what you say, you're actually very diplomatic about these things.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, we used to have an on-air colleague who would do that, and I would call them out on the air.
Really?
Yeah, during the show. I was trying to be quieter.
Uh-huh.
With my call. I apologize again. I am having a little drippage. But
don't say that word.
With drippage?
This is a gross word.
Is it really?
Yeah, drippage.
A little drippage.
Ugh.
A little something in the back. Ugh. Anyway, I don't know how long I would wait, but I would have to say something at a certain point. Or you know what I would do? I would wait and say so. I would bring it up on the air. So I wouldn't have to face-to-face this person.
Man.
But if it was an intern, maybe I'd just browbeat them.
Like I just did.
Yeah.
Brought it up on the air.
Is this an intern?
No, it's nobody at WGN.
Okay.
Or
maybe
is it?
You have an intern at your office. I don't know if your company has interns.
Me neither.
You don't? Oh, all right. I see what you did there.
I'm being intentionally
You're being
vague.
Enigmatic.
But it could be somebody on the Gunna Geek Network. It's a network my podcast is a member of. It could be...
Work-life balance?
Could be game-life balance. Game-life balance.
Wait, can we... Oh, we can't put this one on your network.
What? No.
No.
This isn't nerdy. This isn't geeky enough.
No, we could make it geeky. I could wear horn-rim glasses.
Horn-rim glasses.
Sure, big horn-rim glasses.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty geeky. I'll wear cardigans, and I'll let my beard grow. Then we'll drink Pabst Blue Ribbon. No, that would be a hipster podcast. Never mind. So back to this. I would probably say something after, if I really noticed it, and it got to be an issue where I felt that if I was talking to someone, they wouldn't stop interrupting me, then I would definitely say, listen, let me finish. And it would probably be one time like that, and I would say it in such a way where hopefully the message would get to them.
Mm.
Because if I am going to confront somebody, I don't want to do it more than once. I want to be clear. And they're like, what do you mean? I'd go, you're driving me nuts with the, that. Let me finish, and then if you agree with me, agree with me. But if not, let me get a thought out, and then we'll go from there. Because if not, you're a stammering jackhole, and I don't need to hear from you anymore.
Sure. I could tell you wanted to swear again.
I did.
You always want to swear on this podcast.
I don't know why. I think podcast. I think ultimate freedom. I think satellite radio. I think of podcasts of friends of mine. And I don't want to swear nonstop, but every once in a while, I was thinking back to one of the podcasts we did before when we were talking about the Iron Sheik. And I wanted to say he was bat blank crazy. And I started to, and then I went, oh, wait, I can't. But that's just, I don't think that's swearing for gratuitously. I think that's how I would talk if you and I were on the elevator.
Sure.
And I said, did you hear the Iron Sheik? He's...
We should do an elevator podcast.
That'd be fun.
Then we record in the elevator.
Sure, why not?
I actually wanted to do that in college. I wanted my saxophone
quartet.
There's
another lovely young woman looking at us. Now she's talking on the phone. I can't believe I'm waving at somebody on the radio.
But we're not on the radio.
Shh. Don't tell anybody.
No one knows. She doesn't know that. She can't hear us.
She thinks we're John Wideman and Troy Murray. How are those guys calling such an excellent game when they're not even looking at a TV?
Exactly. I just accidentally looked back, glanced back, and I think we made eye contact, and I think she thinks I want her now. It was awkward.
It was awkward.
Really awkward.
Because now she's pressed up against the window.
I know. I'm not going to look. I'm taken. I can't do this. She looked like she was twice my age.
I'll take it too, but I'll look.
Well,
go for it. She wasn't twice your age. She was half my age.
Younger than me?
No.
Well, now... Oh. Well, I'm not half your age, believe it or not.
I breathed in wrong.
I know I might have been when I started working with you. Is that right?
That can't be right. If you weren't half my age when you started working with me, how would you be half my age now?
No, because at some point I would have been half your age. Because I was 23 when I started. You would have been 43. So when I was 24, you were
42.
40. Okay, so when I was 24, you were 43. When I was, all right, figure 5 years ago.
All right, listen. Once you delve into math, you know I'm out.
At some point,
I've checked out.
You were twice my age.
This is not a math quest contest.
Because it moves.
Huh?
You know what I'm saying?
No.
Because every year we each become a year older.
Correct.
Which means that when you multiply, that's how that works. All right, so if I'm 24 and you're 48, let's say, you're twice my age. But then 10 years later, I'm 34 and you're 58. And 34 times 2 is 68, not 58. See what I'm saying? Your eyes just glazed over. I think Brian's passed out. Oh, man.
Too bad we're not live.
I feel like I should have called an ambulance just
now. Listen, we're doing the podcast down here every week.
Are we really? Just for attention?
Well, no, because I like the energy in this studio better than upstairs.
Really?
Yeah, I know it doesn't come across to the listener.
But I bring the energy every week. That's what I'm here for. Sure. You bring the talent and the brains and the stories. I bring the energy.
I bring the world weariness.
Is that what you bring?
That's what I bring. I just bring me.
Wow.
No, I'm not. Actually, things are, you know, everything's going well.
Everything's going well, except for a couple major losses this week.
Yeah. Should we get into this? Because I've been debating my reaction. I know you were, you're talking about David Bowie and Alan Rickman.
Sure.
Both dying this week. And you seem to be very struck by the Alan Rickman death.
Yeah, I'm
the wonderful actor.
I'm either too young for Bowie or just never. You know, I know his music.
Sure.
I've listened to a lot, but I've never been a Bowie guy.
I agree. I respect what he did. I do. I like, you know, his greatest hits.
Yeah.
I think are great. I know he influenced tons of musicians, but. I went, oh, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see, you know, that he was working on this final project while he was sick and he put it out right before he died. And, you know, it's all admirable. I've got nothing bad to say about him. I don't know if there's any celebrity who would die that I would, I feel bad, but I'm not grieving. I know when John Lennon died, people were distraught.
Yeah.
Weeping and stuff. And I know there's people who feel that way with David Bowie, and I don't knock that. That's fine. But I don't know if there's anybody in that realm, whether it's actor, musician, writer, who I would be distraught over their passing. More so than just a passing, oh man, that's too bad. And you feel bad for, you know, you feel bad for a few minutes. And then you move on.
Interesting. Because I'm usually the same way.
Yeah.
But when I read about Alan Rickman, I felt like I got a punch in the gut.
Yeah.
I just had I had this physical reaction, and it was a powerful, effective reaction. Briefly, it wasn't an all-day thing. It wasn't a depression. It wasn't
But you are wearing black today.
I am wearing, I'm wearing my black blazer because it's my only real blazer. But I'm wearing a white shirt, actually. So
a funeral.
Plus, I didn't know about this until this morning. So this is all totally kind of irrelevant to that. I didn't know until after.
About
I was,
what, Alan Rickman?
Alan Rickman, until I was
podcast?
At work. No, I didn't know until an hour before we started recording. Hey, Cody, you want to meet me at WGN? Why? Podcast.
Podcast. All right. Chicks will look at us through the glass. It'll be fun.
I'm not going to look at those chicks.
They're gone. There's no chicks.
Well, I wasn't going to look at them anyway.
I don't blame you.
Because my girlfriend's mom's listening.
Right. I'll do all the gawking for this show.
So you've never been heavily affected by a celebrity passing?
No, I can't. I don't think I have been.
Wow.
I mean, not again. I'm not heartless. I feel bad.
Right.
Like Lemmy, I knew who Lemmy from Motorhead was. It didn't, you know, break my heart.
But you didn't listen to Motorhead,
right? And I didn't feel bad. I mean, I'll probably feel. I'm trying to think who might really affect me.
I mean, for me, the only major ones have been Alan Rickman made me feel pretty bad. I felt really bad all day. Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was one of the, you know, greater ones, because Star Trek was one of my first things.
Yeah.
I mean, I was dressed like Captain Picard for Halloween in second grade.
But that's not Leonard Nimoy.
But I'm just saying, I was a Star Trek guy, and you can't be a Star Trek guy without Spock.
I got you.
You know,
I got you. He's Spock.
He's probably
he's
the
iconic.
Most recognizable character in the entire thing, even more than Kirk.
Yeah.
I think.
All right.
I don't know about you.
Listen.
You're not a Star Trek guy.
I know Star Trek. My friend's father-in-law is Chekhov.
What?
My friend's father-in-law is Chekhov.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was pretty awesome. I met him after about six martinis at their wedding.
That's amazing.
That was, yeah. And, you know, this was before the days of cell phones and selfies and stuff.
Yeah.
Thank God, because I was ripped. but I tried to maintain, and I was like, oh, hi, Mr. Koenig. It's really nice to meet you. You know, this is a great wedding. Thanks for having me, blah, 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 blah. That's what it sounded like in my head. I'm sure coming out of my mouth because his eyes got real wide. It was like, hey, what's up? Hey, Chekhov, what's up? And, you know, this is, you know, almost 400-pound me doing this, too. So who knows? But so I know Star Trek. I felt bad when Paul Newman died because my two favorite movies are Cool Hand Luke and The Hustler.
Right.
So I felt bad when Paul Newman died. But again, I only equate death with how I feel when family and loved one dies. And I don't have that with other people. You know, friends or family, that's a different mourning process.
Right.
I feel bad as a human being and as a fan. But I guess because I haven't invested so much into any celebrity or any music or a guy like that, that I hasn't like wrenched me.
Yeah.
Yet. But who knows? You know? But the outpouring for Bowie is incredible.
Oh, it's huge. I think musicians generally get a much bigger emotional reaction than actors.
Yeah, because music plays such an important part in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, an understatement at best, but everybody knows that. That's why the trite saying, the soundtrack of your life, which if I hear one more radio station say that, I'm going to just explode. Because it's such, and people use it all the time. That's part of the soundtrack of your life. Shut up.
I've never heard that.
You're lying.
I've never
heard
that.
You have not listened to any commercial radio outside of WGN.
I don't listen to commercial radio. I'm a millennial. I listen to podcasts. I listen to Pandora. I listen to Pandora all the time.
Well, that's the soundtrack of your life, buddy. You're creating the soundtrack of your life.
Well, I've got several Pandora stations, and they're all soundtracks.
Of your life.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I honestly don't listen to commercial music radio.
You're lucky.
Ever.
It's, I'm trying to think if I do. Well, I must. Rarely. Every once in a while, if I'm trapped in a car if I'm in my daughter's car, which is pre-satellite, it's like, oh, ick.
Yeah.
What's this?
Yeah, no.
And I have enough stations programmed where I can try to get around the commercials, but you can't escape them.
It's pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't say on a WGN radio podcast, I don't really listen to commercial music radio.
Well, this is not a music station. This
well,
is a
that's
talk
true.
Station.
I do like talk stations.
Sure. That's what this is.
Yeah.
Well, that we're on. We're under the umbrella of the talk station.
Sure.
Terrestrial talk station.
We are definitely under, it's not raining, but we are under the umbrella.
Right. So, why Rickman? Why did he affect you so much?
I think it's because I literally watched Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 3 days ago.
Oh, really?
So I just saw him, and he is so
He's
perfect.
Great as Snape.
You know?
Great.
I mean, And my first Christmas away from home ever, which was a month ago.
Right.
The day before Christmas Eve, I told my girlfriend, I want to watch Die Hard. Because I said it was a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Of course it's not.
People argue that point all the time.
I've heard that. I read an article the day after Christmas. No, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. Some guy posted on New York Times or Chicago Tribune.
Well,
or
if it's in the New York Times or the Tribune, it must be true.
Exactly.
Yes, Virginia.
Especially.
Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Especially. I think that actually might have been the article.
Oh,
yes,
really?
Virginia, Die Hard is not. No, Virginia, Die Hard is not a Christmas movie.
Oh, all right.
Who knows? I probably made that up. But I just seen him, you know, and I watched all my girlfriend's family, which was cool. And then I see Harry Potter with her like 3 days ago. And I was just talking about Galaxy Quest with someone a couple weeks ago.
Which I've never seen.
Oh, really?
Is it funny? Everybody says it's funny.
You know,
Tim Allen, Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah, it originally had a rated R rating.
Really?
And they took out some stuff to make it PG-13. But I guess some of the stuff was really racy in the original cut.
Okay.
Which I'd like to see.
Yeah, we got to find a director's cut.
Yeah.
Let's find the director.
I'll get Tim Allen on the show.
Yeah, get the director.
Who directed it?
I don't know.
Robert Zemeckis.
It's easy to find out. Probably easier to get Tim Allen on the phone.
You think?
I don't know.
What's he doing these days?
The Yes Michigan. He's got that weak... I shouldn't say weak because I've never seen it. He's got some ABC sitcom again where he's the goofy dad and he's got the wife and a couple grown daughters. Man of the House, I think it's called.
Really?
Yeah, I think it airs on Friday.
Yeah.
For never having seen it, I know too many details about it. You know why? Because his wife is played by Nancy Travis, who I always have thought was really cute.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I learned at Second City in my improv classes, all sitcoms are the same. They all follow the same formula, and it's actually an old, I believe, Jewish comedy formula.
Okay.
It's they have the I remember there's four characters. There's the something, the princess, and the schmuck.
Okay.
And like Seinfeld, for example.
Right.
Elaine's the princess, Jerry's kind of the straight man, George is the goofy one, and then Kramer's the crazy one.
All right.
But that's every sitcom. You can boil down to that.
Well, sure, because you think about it, there's usually the couple at the center.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a wacky neighbor or two. And then sometimes the kids are involved, and they're precocious. And so, yeah, you're right.
Frasier does it. Frasier does it. The straight man is the dad. Although apparently in season one, the dad was the goofy one, and Frasier was the straight man or something. But
I think Frasier, for the most part, was the straight man. And he was like the nucleus, and then the crazy swirled around him.
Exactly. But they had they had Frasier, his brother, the dad, and then the house. Keeper.
There was a housekeeper and then the producer.
The producer,
Roz came in later.
Roz was a little less of...
Yeah.
She's not in the core of the formula,
right.
But it was the Irish lady.
Jane Leaves is the actress's name.
Sure, there
I
you go.
I don't remember the character's
yeah.
name.
Yeah. But every major sitcom you can boil down... So Two and a Half Men was the same. There's three guys, and then I think there was a fourth character that played that role. So.
Well, that's why good ones that don't follow that formula stand out.
Yeah.
You know? Like Modern Family has a big ensemble.
Yeah.
But each little nucleus has that kind of thing. And then, dude, have you been watching The Grindr?
What?
On Fox?
Grindr?
With Rob Lowe, The Grindr?
No.
It's hilarious.
What is it?
So Rob Lowe plays this guy, an actor, who was on a show, The Grindr, where he played an attorney who ground for justice. He was always grinding for justice. His brother is Fred Savage from the Wonder Years. His brother is a real lawyer in Boise, Idaho. The father is William Devane. Fred Savage's wife is some cute blonde who I've seen in a couple other things, but I'm not sure who it is.
Fred Savage?
From the Wonder Years.
Wow.
Who has been directing for forever.
I did not know he was anywhere.
Well, this show premiered in the fall. And so... Anyway, back to the synopsis. Rob Lowe's show, The Grindr, gets canceled. So he comes back to stay with his brother in Boise, Idaho, and decides, well, he played a lawyer on TV. He could probably be a lawyer in real life. So he starts going to work at the family law firm, and hilarity ensues. And I got to tell you, I didn't go into it with a lot of high hopes. I figured, all right, let's record the pilot, because it seems like it might be a good concept. That show... is drop-dead funny.
Really?
Like, we can't wait. We were disappointed that the president was yakking the other night, and so The Grindr got preempted.
Really?
Yeah, because it's one of those shows where Rob Lowe doesn't take himself too seriously. So he's all in as this arrogant actor who firmly believes that he can practice law and make a difference in what's going on. And so it's, and Fred Savage is the perfect straight man. And Fred Savage has a couple of kids, and they all love their Uncle Dean because he's this big, big shot Hollywood guy. And so now the big shot Hollywood guy is in Boise, and it's just, it's fun. And William Devane is the father, who was also a lawyer, but kind of losing it a little bit. And he just thinks Dean is the greatest thing too, because, you know, he went to Hollywood and became this big star. And so they'll show scenes of the grinder, and they'll all be watching it because Dean is still, you know, trying to analyze his the depth that the grinder had on American, the American viewing audience. And it's just, it's hilarious. And now they've bumped, they've got the, they brought the grinder back because he quit. Or so I think he quit because there was, he quit because they kept wanting him to take his shirt off in every scene. That's what, that's why he quit. The show didn't get canceled. He quit because they, every scene there was a gratuitous shirtless scene, and he felt he was above that. And so they fired him and brought in another actor. So now the other actor is, it's just hilarious.
Wow.
So I don't know how we got on the grinder.
You were talking about hilarious. So did you watch the State of the Union?
Yeah, parts of it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're flipping back and forth between that and,
yeah, and wondering
Desperate
where
Housewives.
The, wondering where the grinder, Desperate Housewives, what is this, 1992?
I don't watch TV.
Yes, is that another thing millennials don't do?
Correct.
Dude, I've been streaming lately.
What
Speaking
have,
of what millenniums do.
You talked a bit about Netflix in our last episode.
I've been
episode.
Netflixing still.
Still? What are you Netflixing now?
Oh, I had to watch Making a Murderer.
How is it?
You haven't watched it, have you?
No, we talked about this a little on the
right,
last.
Right, so I've been doing that. I've been Longmire. Now I've got to get into something else. I've got to start streaming something else.
Yeah.
I have to find something else to stream.
Yeah.
I don't know what I can binge.
I just finished Jonathan Strange and Mr. The Strange Tale of Mr. Norrell and Jonathan Strange.
Who? What?
Is it Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell?
Is this like Downton Abbey?
No,
it's weird PBS period piece.
It's BBC.
Oh, see, I don't like the British.
What?
Their humor. They think they're all that.
It was very British.
Yeah. See, once Monty Python ended, British humor to me died.
Hmm. Interesting.
Fawlty Towers. Eh, little. But mostly the end of Monty Python marked the end of British humor for me.
What about the IT Crowd?
Never heard of it.
The IT Crowd?
Never heard of it.
It's spelled the IT Crowd. It's about two IT guys.
Never heard of it.
Very funny.
Is it?
Very funny.
Is it
British.
On Netflix?
Yes.
It's British?
I think.
I'm out.
I don't know if it's Netflix. You would like...
I like this staccato pacing we have now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you like that?
It's kind of Sorkin.
That's cool.
Let's do it.
What's Sorkin?
Aaron Sorkin.
Who?
The Walk and Talk.
Oh, the guy?
West Wing.
Director?
Newsroom.
Actor?
Writer.
Writer?
He's a writer and a director.
Mm-hmm.
Wrote the Steve Jobs movie. West Wing, ever heard of it? You've never heard of the West Wing?
Yes, I've heard of the West Wing.
My God.
Yes, I've heard of it. My girlfriend was a big fan.
I almost called you something very politically incorrect.
Well, that would have been ironic for talking about a political show. Well, I'm glad that you were a good informed citizen and watched at least part of the State of the Union.
Yeah, listen.
I missed it.
I had to watch part of the rebuttal, the GOP rebuttal.
The GOP rebuttal was quite, I thought it was really nice, actually.
Yeah, the South Carolina governor, I guess, did a good job.
Like, they were critical of Obama a bit, but it wasn't this call to arms, and it wasn't...
Why bother at this point? He's done. This was it.
I know, but
He's gonna go out swinging, which, you know, is fine.
Which is, yeah, a presidential thing.
That's what he should do.
I want him to pardon Snowden.
Really?
Oh, my God, yes.
All right.
Oh, my God. That's, like, the number one thing that I want Obama to do.
Have you started a petition at change.org?
Oh, my God. I have gotten so many petition emails, and I've signed a few.
That's because you post nonstop about your political beliefs.
I do, but then I go to – I see some link, and it says, sign this petition, and then I stupidly go do it.
Why?
I don't know.
What if you're signing petitions, you know, let's make ISIS the national bread? What?
I'm not signing that.
You're just signing things willy nilly.
No, I know what these petitions are for. Just signed too many, and then suddenly I'm part of an email list.
Sure, because once you're on that list, it's like once you order something online,
and then all bets are off. You signed this petition to end Citizens United. Great. Now sign these 14 other petitions, and sign this petition to end this political campaign, and sign this. It's crazy.
See, that's why you don't. That's why I don't get involved.
It's too much.
Because once you get involved, people want you to stay involved. I don't want to be involved. I got enough I'm involved in. Just trying to live. Just trying to survive. That's all.
It's tricky.
What was the latest one you signed?
Latest one I signed was to remove Debbie Wasserman Schultz as the chair of the DNC.
Okay.
Which there are two petitions. They each have 100,000 votes on them or signatures, but I'm sure there's a lot of overlap because there's two.
Sure.
Say the same thing.
And what's the gist of it? Why did they want to remove?
The gist of it is she's doing a terror. She's every year there are 15 to 20 Democratic debates.
Right.
This year there's six. The scheduling, we talked about this a little on the political podcast.
I wanted to make sure that you knew why you were signing.
I knew I was signing, right. Yeah, because basically no one's been covering the Democratic race until this month. And right. The only reason they're doing it now is because Bernie Sanders is catching up to Hillary Clinton in the polls.
Oh, it's getting close.
If that hadn't happened, no one's talking about anything. You turn on, we had CNN on when I walked in the studio. All they talk about is the Republican Party. That's right. All they talk about, wall to wall.
That's because that's the only one with any real heat. Now there's heat in the Democratic one.
And now they might talk about it a little bit, but I don't know.
Yeah. I got to be honest. Every time Bernie Sanders talks, I hear the Larry David impression.
Have you heard Stephen Colbert's impression?
I have not.
Stephen Colbert is a great Bernie Sanders.
Stephen Colbert is on at night, right?
He does the late show.
Yeah, I sleep.
With David Letterman. Which
David Letterman's not on.
Well, he does. He's the, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm asleep by then.
You don't. You should, see, and I, you know how I watch it?
You stream it?
I stream it.
Oh.
YouTube.
Maybe that's what I do, stream things.
So you got to do YouTube it.
I don't want to contribute to the viral society where everything has to go viral.
No, nothing has to go viral.
Who's the guy on after Colbert that now he's got, everybody's got crazy little catchy bits that they want to go viral. He does car karaoke. He had on Adele the other day.
Jimmy Fallon?
No, not Fallon. The guy on CBS who comes on. Anyway, James Cordry. No, that's Rob Corddry.
I've never heard of this person.
Yeah.
Is it the guy from the...
Britain. He's British. That's why I don't
Craig Ferguson?
No, no.
Craig Ferguson's done.
I know. No, there's a new guy who took Craig Ferguson's spot.
I've never heard of him.
James something.
Mm-mm.
And he's from England. And he was a big deal in England. And so now he's here. And I don't know. But he has, you know, they all have these things that they try to make viral, and he had one with Adele. So I didn't watch it, but I saw that everybody's like, oh, you've got to see car karaoke with Adele, blah, blah, blah. So I don't feed into that. I don't feed the viral beast.
You know who's terrible? The new host of The Daily Show.
Taylor Hackford? No, that's a director. Yeah, I know.
What is his name?
Noah.
Trevor Noah.
Trevor Noah.
He is terrible.
Is he really?
He's unwatchable.
Wow, I haven't seen it.
He's unwatchable. And The Nightly Show isn't much better either. That's the supposed Colbert replacement.
Right.
He's all right, but he's not
funny. Who hosts that one?
I don't even know.
Well, they lost all the good writers, probably left with Jon Stewart.
Probably.
And Stephen Colbert.
They're terrible.
Really?
They're god-awful. And I'm speaking as a millennial. I'm the target audience. Although I'm not as much, I don't smoke enough pot, and I'm not as much of a hipster.
I was going to say, are you too old now to be the target audience?
I don't.
Are you at the upper edge of that target audience?
I'm still a millennial. I'm just out of my 20s. I mean, listen, it's bad.
Once you hit 30, you're an old man.
They've gone down. The only good show still on Comedy Central is South Park.
Wow.
Which destroyed it.
I know you love it. I haven't seen South Park in ages, except for the one you told me I had to watch, and then I watched that one.
Which was amazing.
It was very funny.
Right. So.
It's I don't know why I stopped. Like, I stopped watching all cartoons. I used to record, you know, American Dad, Family Guy, The Simpsons, and Bob's Burgers, which I thought were all fine shows. I got nothing against them. I guess I just got to a point where I had so many other things that I was recording that I was like, if everybody doesn't watch them, then I stop recording them. So it got to a point where we weren't watching, you know, my wife and they didn't want to watch Family Guy and stuff. And I didn't have a lot of just solo me in front of the TV time.
Mm.
So it was like, And now I find I don't miss them.
Family Guy's still on?
Yeah.
Good God.
Oh, and Simpsons are still on?
Simpsons is never going to go off.
Right. Family Guy's still on. I don't know if American Dad is on anymore. I think there's a new Sunday night Fox animated show.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bob's Burgers is very funny.
I've heard. I haven't watched it. I liked Archer.
I'm busy watching The Grinder. Archer is great. All right. Archer's a cartoon I will watch.
See, I should get back to that.
Because my wife loves Archer, too.
It's great.
Yeah. So that's one we'll go, okay, let's do it.
Fun fact about The Simpsons.
Yes.
It's huge.
You've used fun fact twice tonight.
This is only the second time?
Mm-hmm.
I am full of fun facts.
I know, but to preface it, let me decide if it's a fun fact.
Okay.
Don't tell me it's a fun fact, because it might be a fact, I'll decide if it's fun.
What if I'm having fun?
How about I'm having fun telling you this fact? That's more accurate.
I'm going to have fun telling you this fact.
Well, then.
Simpsons is huge in Latin America. And globally, because The Simpsons is a universally understandable sense of humor.
Because all sitcoms are the same.
No, Simpsons especially. Because other sitcoms, like, are people...
Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
Cartoon is easy to understand.
Apparently. And Homer's a very... universal,
right? He's an oaf,
gluttonous oaf kind of thing.
Yeah, and they look like they can look like anybody. They don't look like, you know, white America.
Exactly.
They're yellow, goofy, oddly shaped Borgs.
Exactly. Yeah.
With pointy heads.
So, anyway,
well, listen. That was an interesting fact.
I had fun saying.
I'm glad. I don't know. I'm not saying it wasn't worth mentioning.
See, you may not have had fun. That my girlfriend's the one who told me the fact. If she hears this, she'll be having fun.
Well, and then you'll have fun.
You mentioned my...
I don't know if your girlfriend sounds like that.
You mentioned my fact on your podcast.
No one sounds like that. My girlfriend is from Delaware. She's
yes,
not...
that was my Delaware accent.
Was that your Delaware accent?
I don't do regional accents.
You don't?
I do two.
No?
I do Southern, which I guess is regional. All right, I do one regional accent. And then everybody else is kind of lumped into a weird hybrid of everything else.
Yeah.
So that was that.
I follow.
You know, I don't know. Does she sound like the Pepperidge Farm man?
No one sounds like the Pepperidge Farm man. The Pepperidge Farm man or the impersonation of the Pepperidge Farm man?
Either one.
Mm.
She doesn't sound like either?
Mm-mm.
How about the Ocean Spray Cranberry Bog guys? Does she sound like one of them?
I don't know what that sounds like.
I can't do it. But the two guys standing in the cranberry bog, which I found fascinating because I didn't know that was how... I wasn't sure how cranberries grew, but they grow in a bog. Just a big... thick, watery slough.
Those are all really aesthetically pleasing words to hear.
Yeah, that's
bog,
why I put them together.
Thick, whatever you said.
Sure. Thick
stew, watery slough. Thick slough. It's a fun word. Yeah, all right.
That's a fun. It's a fun word. It's fun to say.
Fun word. How about you say fun word to preface any word you say?
Here's a fun word. Gigolo. That's a fun word, isn't it? Amalgamum.
Gigolo, not that fun.
Wow. Depends. If it's on your business card, it is.
Hi-yo.
Good, buddy.
Good job.
How'd you... you brushed over. I brought up that CM Punk was going to fight in the UFC, and you completely brushed over it when CM Punk is like one of your idols. You wear your CM Punk t-shirt all the time.
I do.
All the time.
Oh, no, I'm so... Oh, that sucks that you said that.
Why?
Because my girlfriend says the same thing.
You do. You wear it all the time.
She cannot stand that I wear it constantly. She feels like it's the only shirt I wear. And I have two of them.
Okay.
To be fair.
Are they the same?
No. No.
I didn't know if you had two of the same. Just no. I'm not wearing the same shirt.
No, they're it both white like with black collar and
right.
sleeves. So they look very similar.
Identical.
Very similar.
All right.
Anyway. He's lined up... If this new guy, there's a new MMA fighter who won a match, I guess, or a fight, and I guess if he wins his next fight, he'll be CM Punk's first opponent?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yes. His name is Mickey Gall.
Yeah.
If he wins his next match, he will be Punk's first opponent. He's 23. He's going to take on fighter Michael Jackson. at UFC 196. I would love it. If Michael Jackson came in, and I know he probably bears no resemblance to the late singer Michael Jackson, but I would love it if he just moonwalked in with a Jerry curl.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be hilarious. And then if his gloves were sparkly, and then he just jumped up and then punched you in the throat. Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Why doesn't he have a middle? Why doesn't he go by something else?
Yeah, Mike Jackson.
I mean, if your name was Michael Jackson, would you go on WGN Radio and say, Michael Jackson here on WGN Radio?
No, I'd go by Tito.
Exactly.
Obviously.
See?
That's what I would go by.
That's what I'm saying.
So he's gonna fight Michael Jackson, and with a win, Gall will have his match with Punk at a yet undetermined date. Why is CM Punk so hell-bent on fighting in MMA? He's hell-bent on it.
I don't know.
He's been crying for over a year that he's talked about his next career as a UFC fighter.
He's
whining about it.
He's a fan of
get him on here.
UFC. You want me to get him on here after you said that?
No, I want to know. I want to know why he wants to be a UFC fighter. I think he was a great wrestler, but he hated. He Did he hate wrestling or did he hate the business of
he
wrestling?
He hated the politics.
Politics of wrestling. I hate the politics of dancing. The politics of, ooh, feeling good. It's a song from the 80s. Go ahead.
Politics of dancing?
Yep.
Oh, I thought you were...
Google it.
I'm not going to Google it.
Google it.
I don't want to.
Play it.
I don't want to.
Play the damn song.
I don't want to Google it.
All right, go ahead. So what, he hated the politics of wrestling?
Yeah. So do I. I don't watch it anymore.
You know it's all fake,
the
right?
Product is terrible these days. It's so, it's like unwatchable. Unwatchably bad.
And yet millions of people watch it and they sell out arenas all over the country.
And yet, yeah, somehow, their ratings are hitting a slump. But yeah. I don't know.
Is it hillbillies? Is it mostly hillbillies and yahoos?
I don't know.
That watch it? Who watches it? The mentally deficient?
You know,
who's into it? Who's into that
they've,
stuff?
I read an article that they've been targeting younger kids who would buy more merchandise.
Sure.
So they can sell action figures and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, the number one demographic is still over 35.
Is that right? Yeah. Over 35?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
I know.
Who's over 35 and still, oh, man, I can't wait. I got to see that DDT. That's older. DDT.
People still use DDTs.
Do they?
The Rock used to use a DDT.
Oh, The Rock is the people's champion.
He sure is.
Shout out to The Rock. That's right. Oh, man. Yeah. The Rock. He's coming back, isn't he, to the next WrestleMania? Isn't that what I just read? Every year, The Rock comes back.
He kind of hangs out. Ronda Rousey was at the last WrestleMania.
Yeah, how'd that go?
My girl, she was great, but then she, you know, lost to Holly Holm and went into hiding a couple months ago.
But didn't I hear she was coming back, or where did I read? Oh, no, she's going to be on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue in nothing but body paint.
Again.
Nothing but body paint.
I think she was in it once before.
She may have, but this time, body paint.
I'm a big Rousey fan.
I know you are.
And I'm so angry I didn't bet against her because I saw Holly Holm's resume and everybody's like, oh yeah, Rousey's going to crush her. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, boxing champion, undefeated.
Right.
Dude, this girl's going to crush Rousey.
Yeah, and she was being trained by two of the top MMA trainers down in Albuquerque, and she's hungry. And things have changed since Rousey. Rousey was a groundbreaker. You know, she was a pioneer, led the way, but things have changed, and she didn't, either her coaches or her whatever, they were not up for adapting to a new kind of fighter, and that's what Holm was.
And if you're a world boxing champion, you're hitting, you're a hard hitter.
Right.
And you know how to get hit.
And Rousey got hit right away. Bang.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And she doesn't get hit a lot.
Nope.
Usually it's more of a, oh, 15 seconds, I won? Oh, cool.
Yeah, she throws on the armbar, she struts around, looks good, and then moves on.
She does look good.
Yeah.
But I love Rousey. I'm a big fan. I hope she bounces back. I hope she wins some more matches. But she's in a bunch of films the next 6 months.
She's in the remake of Roadhouse.
She's starring in it.
I know. She's the Patrick Swayze of the new Roadhouse.
How do you feel about that?
Roadhouse, and I don't like the term guilty pleasure, but I enjoy a little Roadhouse.
Hmm.
As a former bouncer, I enjoy. I was a bouncer.
I know you were. I've never seen Roadhouse.
You've never seen Roadhouse.
Why would I see Roadhouse?
Because everybody has to see Roadhouse.
I'm like 8 years old.
Now you're not. Rent it. Sit with your lady. She'll get all geezed up watching Patrick Swayze do Tai Chi.
There's no way.
On a foggy morning in the rural wherever the
no
bar
way
was.
I can sell Roadhouse.
You
can't
sell Roadhouse. Because you got to be nice till it's time to not be nice.
Is that a line from the movie?
Oh, that is the line from the movie.
All right.
Be nice till it's time to not be nice.
Well.
You got to. So I'm a little. I don't like it. I don't like all the remakes normally. But this one seems like, you know, all those bad wrestler movies that they try, you know, John Cena was the Marine or something.
Oh,
all those kind of movies where it's like, oh, we've got this sports star. The only one who's, well, not the only one, but like The Rock has made the wonderful transition. I think Dwayne Johnson's a good actor,
mm-hmm.
and I like watching him on screen.
Oh, he's great.
But the other ones, it's like, let's take these people and try to build a franchise out of them. Ronda Rousey may have some more staying power. I don't know. I'm not, you know, we'll see what happens. I know I didn't see her in the Entourage movie. I don't know what other stuff she's been in. But I'm like, really? Now you're going to go, you're going to take Roadhouse, which was 80s or 90s, just ultra guy movie. And now you're going to recast the Patrick Swayze, the iconic Patrick Swayze role with a woman. Granted, a really tough woman, a very capable woman, but still, it's like, I don't know.
But, you know, it's 2016 now, and everything's got to be a gender bender. I just hope they don't turn it into this whole girl. Well, it's true. I mean,
sure.
they're doing this thing. The new Sherlock show had a female Watson.
Right. You know, Elementary.
Yeah, everything
Lucy
is.
Lou.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
I like that show, actually.
I never saw it.
It's very good.
Yeah, but they're gender-bending everything.
New Ghostbusters are all ladies.
Oh, God. Do not get me started on that.
I've already done it.
Do not get me
started. This is when the lady listeners of the podcast turn.
It's so stupid. Who cares if they're girls or guys? Just cast a funny cast.
Right. Well, I think they did.
But they're making two. Did you hear that? Apparently, they're making two Ghostbusters movies, one with males and one with females.
No, they're not.
That's what I read at some point.
No, you read that in
the At some
onion.
Point, there were two scripts, and it's like, I don't care.
No, if you're going to remake Ghostbusters, which, again, I don't...
We don't need.
We're out of original ideas.
No one
it's
needs
obvious.
It.
We don't need it. The first one still holds up. The first one is still great.
The first one is still great.
Right, so you don't need anymore.
Yeah, no, you don't. You really don't.
But let's reboot the series. Like, what are we on, the 19th Spider-Man series? In... 15 years?
Well, there's a reason for that. You know, the contracts and stuff, right?
Sure, I know. But that's still, all right, every couple years we need new Spider-Men.
It's because Sony, man. It's blame Sony. Sony Pictures had it, and their contract says you retain rights to Spider-Man if you make a movie every X years.
Right.
So they were obligated to. Well, and that was dumb.
Done with it.
It was dumb. They rebooted it once, and now they're coming back to the Avengers universe.
Yes.
Did you hear about that?
Yes, that there's rumors that a Spider-Man was spotted on the set of Civil War. Because Spider-Man has to be in Avengers Civil War.
Oh, absolutely.
Has to be.
No, they struck a deal, and Spider-Man will be in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I think Marvel can borrow, or Sony can borrow some things from, you know, whatever.
I gave up on Spider-Man. I was all in with the Tobey Maguire series because I was finally happy that in my lifetime they started making... good superhero movies from the comic books that I loved. So I was all in. Then they went to that Andrew Garfield. I watched the first one, and I was like, no, this is not good. I don't buy him. I don't like he and Emma Stone together as, no.
Oh, see, so I like Emma Stone.
I liked Emma Stone. I don't now dislike Emma Stone, but I'm, eh.
Really?
Yeah. And I didn't like him as Spider-Man. I just didn't like him as Spider-Man.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. Over Tobey Maguire?
Yeah.
See, I didn't love Tobey Maguire.
I thought Tobey was fine.
I thought he was fine. I mean, Spider-Man 2 still, and even Nick DiGiglio agrees with this, and there's a lot of movies
Nick DiGiglio hates every movie. If it's a commercially successful movie, there's a good chance that Nick DiGiglio hates it.
But
Nick DiGiglio, who also came out against the Powerball, that he didn't care about Powerball.
Well, he shouldn't.
Well, he didn't care about buying a ticket. Okay, you don't want to buy a ticket, but really? You don't care about the chance for $2 to win a $1.5 billion?
It's not a chance.
It is a chance.
It's not, but...
I won $4.
Yeah. How many tickets did you buy?
$10.
So you lost $6.
I won $4.
That's the way you choose
that's
to look at it?
That's how I look at it.
My girlfriend and I had a conversation about this. You simultaneously know... that you have something in your hand, and you know you are not going to win money. But at the same time, you know you could win money.
Somebody's going to win it because, look, somebody won it. Somebody won the $1.5 billion. Two people, one person in the Chicago suburbs won $1 million.
Yeah.
Not far from where we're sitting, somebody won $1 million. That somebody could have been you or I. Chances are it wasn't going to be. But that person who walked into that Citgo station and bought that $1 million ticket, he had the same chances that we did. You know?
But you know you're not going to win. And then when you do, it's like reality broke or something.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, we know. I wasn't disappointed today when I didn't win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for more than a second. Yeah, we're taping. That's why the on-air light's on. Jeff Carlin is here. He's the producer of The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantes. You hear that every afternoon on WGN Radio from 3 to 7. It's a fantastic show. You could turn... Jeff would be on 4.
Yes.
He'd
Mike,
be on number 4.
Guest 4? I don't know how to operate this
just
thing
hit that,
anyway.
Hit that button.
It's already on. It was already...
It usually is.
Look at that.
Just for fun.
You're the first guest on our podcast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I am honored and amazed and...
troubled.
Disturbed? Troubled.
Yeah,
troubled.
Be troubled.
A better word for it.
There's like a 2-inch gap between these monitors for me to see you.
You can slide it down.
Can you slide it down?
You can, but it's not worth it.
Brian's got
there
it.
You got it.
No,
got
it's totally worth it. You look great.
So what brings me to your show?
I don't know. You walked in. What's going on? What, did you forget something in the studio? No, because, well, you know, we're doing the podcast because the Blackhawks have staked their claim to Sundays for a while until February.
I didn't hear a rumor the other day because we were at the show, at the UC on Tuesday.
Well, nice.
And Dennis Savard said that Brian Nuna guy is going down. And I thought that's rather specific and mean.
I'll agree, both. And I don't know what – I didn't fire the first shot across the bow. I'm happy to coexist with the Blackhawks. I love them, as you know. So we just started doing this to keep people satiated.
Oh, satiated. Good word.
Thank you.
What did I walk in? I apologize because I obviously ignored the on-air light.
Well, listen, nobody should be down here. We were starting to debate the merits of the Spider-Man franchises. I was done after Tobey Maguire because I didn't like Andrew Maguire.
I'm with you.
Andrew British man.
Yeah.
See, I didn't like him.
Garfield.
Well, I liked him, but the plots in the first one didn't make sense.
And it was too soon.
Exactly. It was too soon.
We just went over this. This is a contract thing, but it was too soon.
Sure. I mean, I get the legalities of it, but too soon, even if the legalities pan out, you got to say, hey, you know, we just did this 4 years ago or five years ago. Let's let the irons cool.
People get the origin. We got it.
Yeah.
If you can't come up with new villains, do something else. Do Spider-Man Takes Manhattan like the Muppets. Anything.
Ooh,
anything.
That would have been good.
That would have been funny.
Or Spider-Man the Musical. Wait, no, they tried that. It didn't work out.
Ooh, that was not.
Oh, why did you mock Bob?
You know what I auditioned for that?
You did?
I auditioned for Chicago casting call for Spider-Man Into the Dark.
Into the Dark.
Yeah, I definitely auditioned. For Spider-Man.
What?
I auditioned to be Spider-Man.
You did not audition to be Spider-Man.
I definitely did. They had an open casting call.
Did you want to be paralyzed?
They had an open casting call. This was before they started running rehearsals that killed people.
Yeah, that's
they had an good. Open casting call. I went and I sang four or eight bars of Johnny B. Goode. Like Back to the Future style, Marty McFly style, and it was god awful, and I knew it. And I'd been talking to these two cute girls in line waiting to do the audition because that's what I do.
Sure.
And and I walked out, and they both looked at me with this look of just utter disappointment because you know I'm charismatic, and I had wooed them on.
Sure, they thought you were a big deal.
While waiting in line for 2 hours, and I went and sang, and I walked out, and they both just were like, "Hey, good luck, bye." It was kind of.
Sure, they brushed you off because you showed you had zero to no talent for musical theater.
Zero whatsoever. I was in the All-City Musical in high school.
Did you wear a costume?
No.
No?
You're a tall man, so I think a costume might have been much.
And you, no offense, you don't look like a high school senior.
Also well, true. I did 6 years ago when they did it.
Even then.
Even then.
Too gangly.
Until 2 years ago, my acting resume said 20 to 30. I guess that's not high school, is it?
No.
Well, No.
I don't know, but
unless you're really dumb.
But was Spider-Man in high school in the musical version, or was he in college?
I don't think anyone saw the musical version.
No, did they? Yeah, and if they did, they didn't live to tell about it.
Yeah, the four people who saw it opening night were executed on the way out by the Edge,
or killed by some falling item from the set.
The Green Goblin sleigh fell on them, and crushed the four of them right in the front row.
Yeah, well,
all right. So, yeah, we were...
So I walked in on, huh?
Yeah, that was it, because we were starting to wind things down. So how are things... How's your tenure? Since we finally have a guest, Cody. Finally, we've only done a few of these.
You never asked me to book one.
Because you never book one for the regular show.
That's true.
Why would I figure you'd book something for a podcast when you don't book anything for the regular show?
That's very true. Thanks for doing me a solid.
Hey, I'm here for you.
Thanks for just wandering in, Jeff. What should people know about you, Jeff?
What should people
how
know
long
about
you? How long have you been at WGN?
Less than a year now. It's crazy. I grew up on GN, so I feel like I've been here my entire life.
And you worked with Roe at his previous stop?
I did, yes. I worked for Roe, with Roe, rather, over at the WS...
Little 89?
Exactly, the Little 89. And I worked with him there for a while, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah?
A lot of fun. Him and Richard Roper, great guy. And we so then they came over here last year. He brought Rich with him.
Yeah, Rich comes in all the time.
Yeah, once a week at least. He was here today doing Oscars. Well, okay. This will be tape delayed, so whenever it was.
Whenever it was.
At that time now.
Don't worry, I still don't get the... Listen, we recorded today.
It's a recurring theme that Brian at no point has any idea what time it is or what day.
No, I believe it's today, so I broadcast in real. I podcast in real time.
That's your problem. You believe it's today, and yet
who knows
what
it is.
So those of you listening at home, that happened at insert time here. And that was great to talk about the Oscars because that happened on that day. He's great for that. But yeah, working with Roe over at LS was great. And so I've been here since July of last year.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. In all seriousness, there's a lot of drinking on that program. Is there something? Do we need an intervention? Should we call somebody? Is there anything that I know you can't say this in front of Roe, but really, who listens to podcasts?
Right.
You could tell us here. Is something going on?
I don't think there's something going on. I think everything's going
on.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to kind of tackle it.
Yeah.
I don't think the powers that be here at the big WGN would have hired him not knowing about that ahead of time.
Well, it's no secret. That's why I say it's on the show nonstop.
Exactly.
And I think that's a wonderful part of the program.
It is one of the more endearing parts.
And when I've had the pleasure of sitting in on Roe's show, I've been part of one.
We drank our way through Germany one night.
Right, exactly. So I think it's great. But if the guy needs help, I'll help him out.
I don't think help is the word for it.
Okay.
No. Assistance, maybe.
All right, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll take a step at a time.
Sure. Let's just say that. And I believe there are 12 total. The old joke is, people say, "Oh, you're an alcoholic," and I say, "No. Alcoholics go to meetings.
Right.
I'm just a drunk."
My old boss used to say that years ago. She said that all the time. It's her favorite joke in the world.
It's not a joke. It's a reality.
It is a reality. Alcoholics
what
go
I
to
meant.
Meetings.
Exactly.
Alcoholics, serious business. Fair enough. Well, listen, I got to tell you, this is a banner night. As we start to wrap up, we have not only a guest, but an esteemed guest.
Yeah. Oh, esteemed.
One of the,
too kind.
Listen, come on. Executive producer of the afternoon program.
Roe invented that title for me, and I appreciate that.
Executive producer?
Yeah.
We are.
I live up to it.
You
I
have
try
a staff. You have a wonderful staff that you work with.
Brian is
amazing, wonderful.
Amazing. I've heard you're very good at producing.
I do what I can.
I've heard this.
I book the occasional guest.
Yeah.
Listen, I have told, I use you and Brian as the template now every time I fill it, and I've beating Cody over the head with it. Boy, when I was in for Roe,
I'm sorry,
Jeff and Brian, they make my job so easy because they lay things out and it's all there and we have a call beforehand and we have things to do. And Cody goes, "Yeah, so?" He's not affected by it at all.
I show up, I write fake segments on a whiteboard, and then I check Facebook. And then sometimes I run across the street to grab a sandwich and a Monster energy drink from Walgreens.
For Brian?
No, for me.
No, that's rule number one. That's where I learned everything.
I offer to get him something, and he never wants junk food from...
I don't want to be the guy who makes his producer go get him something to eat.
But I go voluntarily.
I know you're going.
I offered. I mean, I literally offered.
Did you intern somewhere? Did you intern at a station?
I interned for for a Spanish language station. Oh. Mega 95.5 todos los éxitos. That was a...
Wow, you did the Spanish radio voice very well.
I could speak English pretty well at a time, and I was working in the production staff. So
okay.
That's where but I always offered to go out and get a café con leche.
Wow.
All the time.
Now, see, if you offered to get me a café con leche, maybe I'd take you up on it.
I don't think they sell cafe con leche at Walgreens.
Who knows? No. They sell sushi over there.
That's very true.
So you're going the wrong way.
That's probably
as far
true.
As the map is concerned. Listen,
geography is not my strong suit, Jeff. Did they make you run out and get stuff? Because I know there were hosts, and I think that time has passed where,
for the most part,
where interns were forced to go get the host dry cleaning and lunch and coffee. And I worked with a guy who would make his interns do all that kind of stuff to the point where it made me uncomfortable just seeing them do it.
When I was a part-time producer for Roe under the great Jacko Headblade, it would rise up that be like, Roe, but hey, I could really use a sandwich if you could get me that. And then he'd give me $20 and I'd give him $2 back. And and he was okay with that. Same with Richard Roper. Like, hey, he's like, I could use, a bottle of wine. Here's $50. And that bottle of wine will cost you $20. And he's like, okay. Keep the change. I mean, they were grateful and gracious
No, that's so, yeah.
But for the most, I never was like, hey, if you don't get this, except for I heard rumors about people who interned for ManCow that was like, if you did not get him whatever he asked for, whenever he wanted it, there would be issues.
Isn't it a horrible business where people have to subjugate themselves to intern for ManCow?
Yes.
Doesn't it make you feel dirty?
Next to ManCow.
You peed next to ManCow?
I'm sorry. In the bathroom.
You can say peed. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. So I peed next to in a bathroom. And
Was he doing a fake character there?
No,
too?
but he walked in after me, and I turned and I washed my hands, and then we both washed our hands next to me. I said, "Hey, you know, it's so cool to work in the same building as someone like yourself." He's like, "Do I know you?" I said, no, I've worked for the terrestrial, you know, the other side of the station, and I just, you know, we've never met. I said, I just thought it was cool to work with somebody who's been around since I was, you know, thinking about being in radio. He's like, "Okay, why are you talking?"
I said, wow.
I said, I didn't know you. I just thought you need to talk to me through somebody else. I said, excuse me. Okay, fine. All right. That's how it
wow.
is.
Dude, I saw your junk in your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are you?
And that was my perception. I was like, that was seriously. Wow. Seems like the bathroom is the last place you want to be defensive, unless it's like, I don't know, somebody who's bigger than you.
Yeah, you weren't making a move on him, right?
No, I was washing my hands, trying to be polite.
You didn't sidle up next to him. Hey, bad guy.
That awkward conversation you have in the bathroom. Like, but no.
Well, it's good to know my perception of him as a tool has been proven correct.
Yes.
However, I'm like horrified that you spoke in a men's room. I have
really?
A strict do not speak in the men's room ever under any circumstances policy.
Even if both guys are at the sink?
100%. No sink way. No.
That's how I got Jeremy Roenick's autograph. Or, sorry, Chris Chelios's autograph, rather.
Maybe if there's like a celebrity.
In the bathroom?
In a bathroom. I was 10 at the time, so.
Did you wait, at least?
Wait to get it.
Wait till he was done?
Well it was.
Slide it under the door?
What he said was, he's like, well, let me wash my hands first, and then yeah, sure, I'll give you that autograph.
I have a weird thing about it. It was that all my coworkers knew about it at my last job. They knew if you see Cody in the bathroom, don't talk. And then they would purposely talk to me because they wanted to mess with me because they knew it was a weird rule.
See, if we're both at the sink, I don't see any problem with
that. No, I mean,
just
I wouldn't have done
it. How did I get roped into this? I know. We'll let you go.
No, I know.
How did
I,
we get roped into
it's
this?
It's blinking. My phone does that. And I just,
oh, my God. What's going on?
It's force a habit now.
What is this, 24? Is there something going
something
on?
Something like that. There is a print somewhere who needs my assistance.
Did you come in here to do something other than sit down?
I literally came in here because we do the top 5 of 5, and I read the podcast for it. And after the show today, we went out to get a couple of drinks, and so I came back in, and I was like, I don't have the paper like thing that Brian Altimer writes for. I'm like, well, maybe Bro tossed it out in the garbage can, and I can pull it out, and then I can just copy off of that. Otherwise, I have to go back and listen, and it's just a pain in the ass.
I know producers hate to listen to the show.
I do enough work before it that when it's actually happening, I'm doing other things, and so by the time it comes around, I'm actually going back and doing it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know what we talked about.
See, and it's funny. I thought you were still around because the office was open and the lights were on. I was like, I don't see Jeff or Brian anywhere.
Yeah.
And I know Roe and Ann leave
soon
after the show.
I mean, the show, we were technically on from 3 to 7. They're off out the door by, like, you know, crosstalk. If it happens, then they're out the door right after crosstalk. But if the Hawks play tonight on instant certain date here.
Well, I've already blown that earlier
by
saying they were playing the Canadiens.
The Canadiens. So. La Habitants.
Do you agree when a Canadian sings our national anthem, they do it half-heartedly?
Oh, absolutely. And we do the same thing.
No, I think when they sing the Canadian anthem.
Corneliuson doesn't give it the same oomph.
He gives it pretty good oomph.
He gives it a good.
Gives it a nice
representation. On a scale of 1 to 10, he gives it maybe a 6.
All right. I'd say, I see Jim Corneliuson giving it. He's all but not the extra. Where
right.
I think he does ours, he takes it to the 100% and then he pushes it as far as he can.
Goes extra. 110. Okay, I'll give that. So I'll say 90, 85%.
Let's go. All right.
85%. If 110 is a normal Hawks national anthem,
He's got auto oomph, you know? With that voice, you don't need to put a whole lot. I mean, he puts what he's got and it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is what he does as a Hawks.
Always, yeah.
That's amazing.
Okay.
Then 6 is the relative
for
the Canadian anthem.
Yeah, we'll go. I'll split the difference. I'll go 6 to 7 with you. 6.5, something like that.
I don't think he purposely does it, you know, demeans it. He just doesn't want to make it.
Well, you can't have them equal.
Well, exactly.
You got to drop it a little.
America's hat.
It was a thin-voiced woman doing it in Montreal tonight.
Oh, no.
That's what struck me.
Aren't all Canadian women thin-voiced?
Is that a thing?
I think so.
I don't like to talk to Canadian women.
I don't either. They're floppy mouths and the beady eyes.
Right.
Is that the South Park?
It's all about syrup.
Syrup
and Tim Hortons. Oh,
yeah.
Did you get some
cheap coffee and being friendly?
Yeah, all that. Nationalized healthcare. Shut up.
Yeah,
I heard it all before.
We tried that.
Have you, Brian? Did you see it on my Facebook feed? Is that where you saw it?
No, why?
Nationalized healthcare?
No, Canada has that.
No, I know that, but now, you know, stuff, politics.
Obamacare.
It's all about your time.
So you came in here to essentially
garbage
drunkenly dumpster dive. This is
I
what I'm
say
getting.
Drunkenly, I would say less than soberly.
All right, sure.
Listen, he's a guy who's. No matter how many drinks he had, he's still working on his show almost 2 hours after it's over.
No, I'm not. I'm not casting aspersions.
Again, Jeff, I'm using you.
I appreciate.
I'm using you as a wedge to get Cody to.
Oh.
Buckle down.
I'm using you as the whip.
Is this an intervention?
To get my producer horse to work.
Oh, that's funny. Because I use the same analogy for producing the show, except I'm
the
usually,
host.
Yeah, exactly. The host is the horse in that reference. My reference, but.
Right, maybe,
which end of the horse? Because I know which end Cody thinks I am. Listen, I don't know if you share the same.
I will plead the fifth.
I don't blame you.
Listen, Brian, maybe when my wage goes up, when minimum wage goes up on July 1st, maybe I'll put a little extra
right,
50 cents an hour
50
into
cents, I'll. Wait till you hear our show. Wait till you hear our show in August.
Oh, man.
It's going to be phenomenal.
Obama will be waiting to be on the show.
Wall to wall guests.
Because you're making that extra 50 cents.
I've got Obama pre-booked.
Every night, right?
You better hope management just decides that the law is a suggestion, not really a law.
What law?
The new minimum wage. Anyway, listen, we've been here all night. Jeff has to go. Thank you for stopping by.
Hey.
And by stopping by, it's like we invited you and you said yes. You just stumbled in like, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
They're talking. Now they're going to ask me to sit down. So we appreciate you sitting down. It's always good to see you.
Thank you for having
Jeff
this microphone
Carlin,
right here.
Once again, the executive producer of The Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantes. Brian Altimer, is he executive producer too? What's his technical producer?
Senior technical producer.
He's wonderful.
He's man of all sounds.
Right. And Ro and Anna, of course, do a wonderful job every day, 3 to 7 on the big station. We're here on the podcast side.
And if you find any food in the trash, let me know.
I will.
Yeah, if you find anything out, anything incriminating, leave it for us. We'll talk about it on the podcast.
It's probably about us.
Probably.
Probably incriminates us. So.
Sure. Can you believe they're still here? What? who wrote that? So thank you for coming by. Cody, thank you, because I got an email today that we're supposed to thank everybody on this.
You always
did
thank
Did you guys
everybody.
Get that email?
There was a meeting where that was announced.
Oh, see, because I guess I wasn't at the meeting. So
it was a producer's meeting. And, there was
did
no
somebody
email.
Complain that they didn't get thanked?
No, it was last year, and there was a big thing they want to do this year is make it, like, credits and make sure everybody gets their say, and they feel like that's a thing that needs to be done, and I'm all for it, but...
I've always kind of done it. I do it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big thing. I was just funny. I thought, oh, that's unusual.
Yeah, it was surprising. I mean, I've never seen that happen before, but I will say Judd Surratt's probably the best of anybody.
The sports guys usually do it because there's so many people involved in their broadcast.
I mean, Judd will go on and on about everybody from Little Z to Krista Flores to everybody, and they all deserve it by all means.
So it's an important thing. So thank you, Cody.
Brian has thanked me on almost every show we've done in the last 7 years, honestly. Almost every a couple. If we're running real late, he'll just sign off. But almost everyone, you've been very good about it.
Listen, because everybody goes into making the show, as you know. The shows are not, even though I think sometimes hosts would like to think that it's all us.
Sure,
because we're egomaniacal.
We do make the show. I often make it worse, but I make it.
Right, make it something. All right, so this podcast is done. We're gonna do another one.
I guess we can. Yeah, we can. Week. When are we back on the air? What day is it?
February.
No, we're back last week of January, I think. Next week is our last podcast.
No, the 24th, we're still off.
I know. Next week will be posted the 24th. Okay. See, space-time continuum is very strange
with this.
We'll
see. If people clamor for more podcasts, we'll see what we can do.
I'm always clamoring for more podcasts.
So we'll see about that. But you can always keep in touch with us, Brian Noonan Show, on Facebook and Twitter, Producer Cody on Twitter. So do that. If you're enjoying the podcast, let us know. If you're not enjoying it, keep it to yourself.
Let management know.
Management know. The management doesn't care. Let's be honest. We're just here filling space. But that's it, right? Are we done?
Yeah, I can hit stop anytime I want. I just want to see how long you would keep talking.
I'm finished.
Oh, he's done. He's sitting back now. All right, I'll hit the stop button then.
That's how we end it, Jeff. Just end it.